Luke the Doctor. Hi, and welcome back to Season 2, Who Are You? A study looking at the life and significance of characters from the Bible. Okay, we've nearly come to the end of Season 2. Can you believe
wow.
it? We've looked at some really fabulous people, haven't we?
Yeah, we really have.
I know, we've got about another 3 to go, but we will be returning to this series later in the year, because I just can't get enough of it, to be honest with you.
It's too good.
I really have loved this podcast series.
Yeah.
I love looking at the people of the Bible. And I've learned so much.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, definitely.
So I'm looking forward to today. I won't say my infamous opening statement, this is my favourite, but I do, I like this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because today we're going to look at Luke.
Yay.
Now, Luke has got, there's a lot of intricacies here.
Mm.
And remember that with some of our characters, there's not a lot said about them, but when you start digging around, there is such huge principles that we can learn from that. So this is definitely not void of that today.
Wow.
So should we get going?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay, come on then. Okay, so who was Luke? Well, basically, we know that Luke was not one of the 12 disciples, and he wasn't there at the beginning.
Yeah.
And John 15, verse 27 tells us that. It's funny, isn't it? We've hit that a couple of times, haven't we?
Yeah.
In our studies, that we just make this big old assumption, don't we, that that these people were around at the time of Jesus and that they were all part of it.
Yeah.
But Luke was certainly not one of the 12, and he wasn't there at the beginning, at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. We do know biblically that Luke was a Greek physician, and he lived in Antioch, which was a Greek Gentile territory city in ancient Syria. Okay, so he was Greek.
Yeah.
And we're told that in Colossians 4, verse 14. We do know that Luke was a disciple of Paul, and as were quite a few of our biblical characters. And we do know that Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and it is highly believed that he wrote the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that means that he was actually the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament.
Wow.
All the others were Jewish. And I think that as we start to look at some facts about Luke before we get into the nitty-gritty today, the fact that he was a Gentile is really significant.
Mm.
That comes up a lot in our study this today. He was the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament, which I find amazing, really.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
We know that Luke wrote his gospel around 63 AD, certainly before the destruction of the temple, because he doesn't mention it in his writings at all. You know, the destruction of the temple happened 70 AD.
Yeah.
So we know that it was written before then.
Mm.
Okay. What I find amazing is that Luke wrote actually 52 chapters of the New Testament.
Wow.
That means that he wrote one third of the New Testament, just like Paul did.
Wow.
So Luke wrote one third of the New Testament. Paul did the second third. And then the third was written then by other writers. So that's quite huge,
that's
isn't it? For somebody that we hardly know anything about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
I know. I love that. That's going to become significant as we go through. Interestingly enough, Luke is the longest gospel.
Yeah,
it has the most chapters, and it also gives the most detailed description of the birth of Jesus and the most descriptive death and resurrection account. So for Luke, he really goes into the details.
Yeah.
Yes. He goes into huge detail in his gospel. And he also gives the most healing stories, which is interesting, and miracles, which may be down to the empathy that he has as a doctor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his compassion for the sick and for the infirm. What I do love, this is a little snippet, but I love this, that in Luke 14, he does actually give huge medical insight in his writings. In the sense that he names the illness as dropsy in Luke 14. So the others talk about an illness, an issue. He actually names what it is. Good old Dr. Luke, you know, he's there to diagnose even in the Gospels. I love that. So maybe the reason why he gives huge detail to the miracles, huge detail to the birth and death, is because he feels the empathy for the sick and infirm.
Yeah.
And that really is a quite a big trait, a characteristic of the Gospel of Luke, that he gives huge detail. Actually, Luke is only mentioned three times in the word. Wow. He's mentioned in, and it's really exciting stuff. Yeah. It's, I mean, the extent of his mention is huge.
Yeah.
Not. It's all housekeeping.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's all logistics. Yeah. So he's mentioned in Colossians 4, verse 14. Mm-hmm. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So that's the first reference to him in scripture. Then we've got the second one, which is in Philemon, verse 24. And Mark, Articus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers, send you your greetings.
Oh, wow.
So hello. Hello from Luke. That's the second mention.
Oh, my gosh.
And the third one, this made me laugh. I don't know why this made me laugh. This is, if I was writing in the Bible, this would be my verse.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me, so get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. And that literally... are the three mentions of Luke in the Bible.
That's like nothing.
It's nothing. It's like housekeeping.
Wow.
But I like that last one. Oh, yeah, bring so-and-so because he's really useful to me on the road.
Wow.
I think it's fair to say that based on biblical content, mm-hmm. we're not going to get a lot out of just the bare facts of his mentions.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because brace yourself, there's more coming.
Okay.
There is content here.
Okay.
Yes. But I just think it's very, very, you know, lovely that he's mentioned in all these three places. And that actually will become significant to us as we go through the study. Okay. So there we go. That's the huge story of Luke.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for listening, tuning in. See you next week. But I think what is important to say is that we know, because we've touched on this in previous studies, previous podcasts, is that Luke was absolutely not an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus.
Mm.
And it was even possible that he wasn't even a believer till after the resurrection.
Wow.
Okay. He may have even been a convert of the early church, which is what theologians agree upon. What we get the flavour of in Luke's writing in the book of Luke and also in Acts, it, again, like all the other gospel writers, he never addresses himself as the author.
Yeah.
He never uses his own name and he never addresses himself as doctor.
Yeah.
So he only actually addresses himself in his writings as part of the we who were present on ministry trips, on missionary trips.
Yeah.
So he used to hang out with Paul and Mark and Matthew, and he would go out with them. Remember, he was a disciple of Paul.
Yeah.
So he would go with Paul on the missionary trips. And in his writings, the only way that we know he was there was because he said we.
Wow.
Okay, so we know that he was present
because
he uses the term we in his writings, but also from the three scriptures that we've just read, you know, it's Paul writing going, you know, he's out on a missionary trip somewhere and he's saying, oh, yeah, and don't forget, Luke, my fellow worker is sending you a greeting.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Luke is with me, so bring somebody else.
Yeah.
So we know from both sides, from Luke's side and from Paul's side, that he is present on the missionary trips.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, we don't get a sense from the gospel writers, do we, that there's ego there?
No,
because they never talk about themselves. They never, you know, bring themselves in as a character. Mm. And I think that's really significant.
Yeah.
So what was happening in this time was that Nero, Remember him? Mm-hmm. Nero, who brought the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Nero. He was persecuting believers left, right, yeah, and centre. That was a large part of the early church. Mm. Persecution was still carrying on. You know, you'd have the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The early church was birthed. What we want then is the Walt Disney sunrise and bluebirds singing.
Yeah.
But the truth was they still had decades of persecution, yeah, coming from Rome. Okay, so Nero, why can't I say that today? Nero was persecuting believers.
Yeah.
And what happened in 2 Timothy 4 is that Luke and Paul fled Rome because of that. And we're told in 2 Timothy 4 that Luke remained with Paul until his death.
Yeah.
Okay, so not just sort of, you know, a companion, yeah, he really was loyal,
yeah,
and there to the very end.
Yeah.
Another thing that we can pick up about Luke is that he never writes about giving up his comfortable, cushy number as a doctor.
Yeah.
Because in Bible times, that would have been really a very good profession to, yeah, have. Okay. It would have been made you very comfortable financially, and it was prestigious.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't just be that you wouldn't even have maybe one doctor, and maybe not in every town, but between several towns or in a district.
Yeah.
So you were really very, very important. But we never get an essence from Luke writing about, oh, I've had to give up being a doctor and I've had to go on these flipping ministry trips, you know, to the back of beyond. We don't get any sense of moaning or complaining from him. We just simply just hear about the joy,
yeah,
of being on those trips. And we never hear complaining about that. What I find interesting is that Luke's narrative actually spans 60 years from the birth of John the Baptist, and it ends in Acts.
Yeah.
So we have 60 years of history,
wow,
recorded on the paper of, you know, of Luke.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he covered 60 years of history,
yeah,
in his writings. We have already established that Luke was not an eyewitness, and we'll get there in a minute. Mm. But we do know that he met some of the disciples, Matthew and Mark, certainly, yeah, and obviously Paul. But by the time he'd met some of the disciples, Matthew and Mark, they'd already written their gospels.
Yeah.
We looked at that in a previous podcast, yeah, didn't we? So what we know he did was that he interviewed them as he travelled with them.
Wow.
And he was concerned about writing the details of not only the life of Jesus, but more so the salvation experience, yeah, that could have come through belief and acceptance of him. So what we have here is not just sort of a haphazard Chinese whisper, you know, tell me a story sort, yeah, of relationship. What we get the feel and the vibe of from Luke, and we'll look at this biblically in a minute, is that he was very thorough,
yeah,
absolutely thorough researcher into the, you know, the historical aspect, yeah, of Jesus, but also what life in Jesus could bring. Mm. And because he was saved and because he was part of the ministry team on the missionary trips, that was ultimately his heart, was to be an evangelist,
yeah,
to share the story of salvation. And that comes out in a lot of his writings.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Luke 1, verse 1 to 4, we do have a very clear scripture right at the very beginning of his gospel. He tells it as it is.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't go straight into the stories. Mm. He gives himself a little, you know, opening statement.
Yeah.
And he tells us in his opening statement that he has undertaken to draw upon an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning and decided to write an orderly account for you so you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught.
Wow.
So that's Luke 1, verse 1 to 4.
Yeah.
So he's like almost, isn't he? He's like an academic writer.
Yeah.
He's like a reporter. He's,
yeah,
like he's giving an official report. So right at the beginning of Luke, we're told very clearly that he is researched and he is writing this down. He was not present.
Yeah.
And that makes that very clear for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What I love is that Luke's writings came from thorough research. Mm. I mean, big research.
Yeah.
Interviews with eyewitnesses, discussions and dialogue with people that had relationship with Jesus. But also, I think it's important to say this, he also had the inspiration from the Holy Spirit because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a believer.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have these two sides, these two sources, if you like, of the account of Luke. We have that real sort of detailed research of interviews and human, you know, discussion, but also from a historical chronological point of view. But then also we have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which I love that so much. So we do know that Luke was present in the significant missionary journeys of Paul, and his role on those trips is not really mentioned or talked about, but it was possible that he was there as a physician. That's possible. But more so, I think, a companion, an active evangelist and writer. The feel of Luke that I get is that his writings and ministry activity were foremost in his life. And if you like, his abilities to be a doctor were secondary, just as tent making was to Paul. So it was kind of what they could do in the natural, and it was valuable. But on these journeys, he was there as a brother, as a companion, and to really get these writings done rather than be a physician. And I think that, you know, the ability to give that up or to make that take a back seat, I think, again, gives us insight into his character. If you think about how rare a physician was in Bible times, as they were moving around, you know, they were itinerant. They were moving from place to place, not all, obviously within within Israel. It was outside of Israel. You know, they could have earned great money or attraction by being a traveling physician, but that was never done. There's no biblical account of that. You know, he didn't think, well, I'm here now, I could set up, you know, well, you're preaching, I could set up a little surgery and earn some money. None of that became important. So the fact that here we have a highly skilled physician, somebody that's sought after and needed, that did not overshadow the purpose of those trips. And it didn't, because it was, it's not very important. And I think that that's really, really interesting. So we kind of get, don't we, a little bit of insight from, you know, his personality.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think as facts go, excuse me, that's pretty much it. So I wonder what spoke to you about that. What jumped out to you?
I think just the fact that there is so little about him, and yet he wrote a third of the New Testament.
I know, it's quite big, isn't it?
Yeah, that just seems huge. But I love the fact that even though, like you said, he didn't, he wasn't like a practicing doctor. He kind of used those skills in the way he wrote what he wrote in the New Testament.
Well, it was obviously who he was, and because he had compassion, obviously. Because, you know, of the detail that he gave in his writings about the suffering of people.
I think
about the woman with the issue of blood and about how in his gospel he talks about this woman had tried lots of doctors and none of them could help her, but yet he was a doctor. He was even one of the doctors that she had tried, but it's not kind of a sort of a competition, is it, between the ministry of Jesus and medicine. It just doesn't seem to be an argument or a strength or a conflict in any way. It just sort of blends in to who he is.
I mean, probably, like, you know, we've looked at some of the disciples on here. But even with him, that's a lot to give up. He probably had the most to give up. I know he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples, but to be a traveling minister, if you like, at that time, that's a lot to give up. Because you're walking away from a career, like you said, safety.
But
everything.
Also, they're fleeing persecution constantly from Nero. I've got it right then. From Nero, you know, from Rome. Total, you know, persecution. And obviously, one by one, the disciples get martyred. So that risk is very, very relevant.
Definitely.
So should we move on?
Yeah.
What can we learn from Luke? Well, this is the good bit. Buckle up. I love this. Okay. So again, it's easy to look at that on the surface and go, well, you know, yeah, Luke, a doctor. Mm. Yeah. An old bloke who wrote a book. Yeah. Lovely. Not a lot about him. Done.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a lot that we can learn from Luke. There's little to learn biblically from Luke as a person. We've already established that. There are no significant stories or relational interactions that we see. But a huge lesson absolutely can be learned from a simple few words in his opening chapters of both his Gospels.
Yeah.
Of his Gospel, sorry, and of the Book of Acts.
Yeah.
So in both the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, something is important that we overlook. Mm. I have overlooked this constantly. Yeah. And as I got into studying this, I couldn't believe how much I'd overlook this.
Wow.
So in his opening lines of his Gospel and in the opening lines of Acts, he dedicates both books to a man named Theophilus.
Wow.
And that got my attention.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've never seen that before.
Me neither.
Now, we know that as we read through a lot of books in the Bible, it happens in Psalms. Mm. They're dedicated to people.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not unusual. Mm. But I had never actually stopped and considered this. No. So let's talk about Philophilus. Now, Philophilus is really difficult to say. So, you know, bear with me. I was tempted to call him Theo, but I didn't feel that was very reverent. So we're going to go for it. We're going to go for the full name. Okay. Right? Okay, so both books are dedicated to this man named Philophilus. And Philophilus was a friend to Luke, okay? And theologians agree that both books were initially written as personal books for him.
Wow.
Now, again, that's not biblical. It doesn't say, thus saith the Lord. Okay, but this is what history and theologians have come to an agreement of based on scripture. Now, what's interesting is that Philophilus is one of those people in the Bible that is completely not identified.
Yeah.
The Bible does not identify him at all. But what we can learn from him is what his name means.
Mm.
So what Philophilus' name means is the one who is loved by God.
Wow.
Okay. And there are several theories as to who Philophilus was. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at those now. Now, let me say that in part of our podcasts and part of our Bible studies here at Who Are You, we do go outside of the biblical text.
Yeah.
But we will tell you when that's happening. And obviously for us, the Bible's first.
Yeah,
that's definitely sacred.
Yeah.
But as we look into wider history, we look into culture, we look into other ancient religious writings, but we will let you know when something is not thus saith the Lord, but it brings consideration into our study.
Yeah.
So there are several theories as to who this man was. So in Luke 1, he's referred to by Luke as the most excellent Philophilus. There we go. First thought on the name. Okay, so he's referred, he's not just called Philophilus. He's referred to in Luke 1 as the most excellent Philophilus. Now, what's interesting is that this accolade was usually reserved for Roman officials who had to have outstanding honour or rank.
Yeah.
So they were really, you know, high up the totem pole. They were really high up, you know, in the food chain.
Yeah.
they were really sort of, you know, remarkable at their level. And it's interesting in Acts 23, verse 26, Acts 24, verse 2, and Acts 26, verse 25, that the same accolade and title was given to Felix and Festus.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were high-ranking Roman officials, and they also were given the title the most excellent. Mm. So just based on that, it is suggested, one theory is that he was a high-ranking, outstandingly honourable Roman official.
Yeah.
Okay, bearing in mind Luke is Roman.
Yeah.
Sorry, he's Greek.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So his culture is not Jewish.
Yeah.
Yes. So the Greeks and the Romans had mingled identity and mingled culture. So that could have been very possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Bearing in mind, Luke was a physician.
Yeah.
He was highly sought after. He would have been prestigious.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not far fetched in the sense of whether these two people would have had friendship.
Yeah.
So that's one theory. Okay. It's also believed by theologians that he was possibly a wealthy benefactor who supported Paul and Luke on their missionary journeys. So it might have been that, you know, he wasn't necessarily a Roman official,
yeah.
But yet he was very wealthy and was able to fund the missionary trips.
Yeah.
That's another possibility. It's also believed that he could have possibly been the brother-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest.
Oh, wow.
So that's another theory that's come in. But I think the agreed theology, the safest theology based on scriptural text, is that he was probably a wealthy benefactor or the Roman high-ranking official who was simply just a friend of Luke's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is suggested too, and we'll get to this in the study in a minute, that he wasn't even a believer.
Wow.
Okay. So here we have now this idea that Luke has written two books. Mm-hmm. They've got different purposes,
yeah.
But the first book, his gospel, was written for his non-believing friend about the life of Jesus and what salvation could do for him.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the book of Acts was a follow on of the, what the Holy Spirit did after Jesus's ascension.
Yeah.
So we've got this real effort, if you like, to write a book for somebody who's not saved.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is what theologians agree, what the book, the gospel of Luke initially was. We do know that Luke was a Gentile. We know that. We've already established that. The word tells us that. And Luke actually is a Greek name. Yes. Mm-hmm. But what we can learn, and we've mentioned this and touched on this in other studies that we've done, is that his writings go into huge, I mean, significant detail of Jewish law, Jewish customs, Old Testament practices, which he wouldn't do if he was Jewish or if he was writing for a Jewish audience.
Yeah.
So I think this sort of reinforces this theory that the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, was written for Gentiles, unbelieving people, and it was dedicated or written solely for his friend Philophilus to teach him about Jesus, but also to bring him to salvation. Mm.
Yeah.
And that just made me go, wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that possibility.
Wow. Yeah.
Because this gospel was not written for Jews. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
But yet it really was written for Gentile access. Mm. It was really going into the details about what you could access as a non-Jew, which of course we know in biblical times was huge.
Yeah.
That was a big, big issue.
Yeah.
More so in the Old Testament, obviously in the New Testament, the resurrection and the ascension and the early church, you know, did away with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, that's still fought over today, Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
So basically here we have with this idea now that Luke wrote these books for his friend Philophilus.
Yeah.
Yes. And what he did was that he was giving Philophilus detailed books, I mean really detailed books of narrative and historical expression, but also books full of opportunity to believe and accept the Holy Spirit as Luke had done in his conversion, you know, possibly at Pentecost and in the early church.
Yeah.
So he had been a Gentile, an unbelieving Gentile, but yet he was just getting on with his work as a doctor, but then the Holy Spirit got hold of him. He came to be a believer, and now he wanted that for his friend.
Yeah.
And the way he did that was to write this detailed book for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just I had to take a minute on that. You know, that's an awful lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he didn't type it up on his laptop, did he? That was a handwritten document.
Wow.
And I just think, we get maybe insight here that he must have really meant a lot to Luke, his friend, to really invest all this effort into one man, to bear witness really to him and to disciple him. Yeah. That's what maybe his motive was. And I think it's, we've got to remember that the Bible, the Word of God, was not available, or, you know, in a chronological sense like it is for us today.
Yeah.
Luke didn't write these books with the knowledge that they were to be included in the sacred Word of God, just as the other disciples didn't. They wrote their books by the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So they were literally just their own personal diaries, writings. They didn't know what that was to become.
Yeah.
And we've got to remember that.
Yeah.
These books were written for different audiences, for different motives, for different reasons. And it was all led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And this is where what we can learn about Luke becomes significant for us. Yes.
Yeah.
The things that we think maybe are unimportant or trivial. I mean, he wrote the book of Luke that gives us the biggest, greatest description of the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus came from basically a private writing to get his friend saved.
Yeah.
One person. He thought that book was just going to be written for his friend.
Yeah.
Just to express and share the salvation experience that he had had. And I just think that that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
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 I think it's fair to say that philosophers must have been really highlighted and loved by Luke to go to all that effort of writing these books for him. I mean, Luke used the term I in the opening of the book, in the opening of the gospel. He says, I, Luke, you know, or I have been, you know, prompted to write this for you. We've just read it in verses 1-4. And he basically uses the term I in the opening of the book. And that's a real indication that he took the initiative to tell his friend all about Jesus. He's not saying the Holy Spirit made me do it. You know, Paul asked me to write this.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it'd be a good idea. Whoever wants to hear this, let me, you know, write it for you. He opens very specifically with, I have written this and I dedicate it to you, my friend, or to Theophilus.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very clear initiative that was taken by the prompting, the response of the prompting of the Holy Spirit within his heart. And I think that's really amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really, really amazing. What's interesting too is that Luke writes about basically 10 sort of basic historical facts about Jesus in his gospel. And so bearing in mind that he's writing to his friend, you know, sort of a letter, a book, and he's basically sort of laid it all very out very accurately, because he was a very, very almost academic writer, very clear, very precise, very, you know, understandable. And he gives sort of nine basic facts about Jesus. He talks about, number one, the virgin birth. He talks about, two, the sinless life of Jesus. He talks about, three, the marvelous teachings of Jesus, the exciting teachings. He talks about, number four, the mighty miracles of Jesus. There's lots and lots of miracles in the Gospel of Luke. Number five, he talks about the betrayal, the arrest, and the illegal trial and condemnation of Jesus. Number six, he talks about the burial of Jesus. Number seven, he talks about the resurrection of Jesus. Number eight, he talks about the appearances of the resurrected Jesus. And number nine, he talks about the ascension of Jesus. So, I mean, it's a proper story. You know, it's I mean, you can read it from beginning to end, this very factual chapters, if you like, on everything that Jesus was. And you get this sense of him really wanting to be thorough. To make sure that Philophilus really had the full story. And I just think that is such a beautiful thing, that the Holy Spirit had laid that upon Luke's heart to write this for his friend. and that he did it so well.
Yeah.
And he was faithful to that. And Philophilus had all of this written for him.
Yeah.
Luke wanted to tell him of the value of Jesus and the authenticity of life in him. And this is how he did it.
Wow.
And I just think that that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do have one question
then. Oh, yes.
So if Luke was with Matthew and Mark, he knew them, and they had written their gospels, do you think they ever just said to him, well, we wrote that down, we've written our gospel. Well, they would have called it gospels. Because a lot of it would have been the same, content.
Do you remember we did this when we looked at, I can't remember which person it was in our study. I'll have to check that. But we looked at this, didn't we, about who wrote the first gospel. Yeah. And I think it was John.
Yeah.
John wrote the first gospel. Yeah. No, that's not right. It wasn't John. I can't remember who it was. I'd have to check up that fact. Yeah. But one of them wrote the first gospel. Yeah. And then, years later, the second gospel was written by somebody else, and they used each other's books and writings in order, why reinvent the wheel? If you're looking to write a chronological account of Jesus's life, if somebody's already written that before you, they used that as a foundation, and then they added their own experiences, eyewitness accounts. Remember, some of them did live and work with Jesus. Yeah. So they added that personality to that and that personal story. But with Luke, he didn't. So Luke, wrote his gospel based on eyewitness accounts, based on their gospels.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine sort of Matthew saying, well, here's my transcript, take that.
Yeah.
And then he would have maybe gone and interviewed people from that and added that greater detail.
But even when he was traveling around, to keep all of that with him, because it would have been, a lot of stuff to take with you.
Well, very perceptive of you, because we're going to come to that in a minute. Wait. Okay. he hasn't got, we do it on our phone, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
We just have our phone in our back pocket, and then we can write a book on it. But he didn't. I mean, unfortunately, back in the day, there were no little devices to write. So that's how it would have been. And so you can understand how the relationships are so important.
Yeah.
Is that, and why it's so important to give to each other of ourselves, our history, our life experience, how things have impacted us. Because that then really, is the difference, isn't it, between qualitative and quantitative, research.
Yeah.
And we just don't want facts. Yeah. We want to know how it affected people. Mm. We want to know how it felt. We want to know how your life was transformed. Yeah. We want to know what that looked like and how did it change things. And this is what he did. He went about his life connecting and having a relationship with the people that knew, because they had lived it.
Yeah.
And that's what he brought into his teachings.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that. That, to me, is just such a precious gift. But it also speaks to me that how important it is to give of ourselves to each other, so that our experiences of life in Christ get passed on, the understanding gets passed on. It's so important that we just don't experience the awesomeness of God and not share that. We need to share that so that it can give hope and direction and possibilities to other people. And that's simply what Luke did. He opened up the possibilities of the life of Jesus to, well, not only himself and others, but certainly to his friend.
Yeah.
And I think there's a message there. I think there's something we can learn from there. How many more things did Jesus do that we don't know about because nobody said it? So we've got to be thinking about those sort of things. It's important. So here we go. Philophilus has this amazing book dedicated to him.
Yeah.
And then a further writing in the book of Acts, just to give a more detailed story of life with the Holy Spirit. So the first book is about life with Jesus. The second book is about life with the Holy Spirit in the early church. So both available to him. Both could be part of his lifestyle and his transformation. And I think what's really beautiful is that I really do believe that the Gospel of Luke was written with the intention of leading Philophilus, a lost man without faith, to Christ. I think that from reading back on the scriptures now, I really do believe that.
Yeah.
And I think that Luke wrote this really clear book for him to understand everything that he ever needed to know about Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And here we go, Naomi, let's hit the, what you would have written, how you would have done that. So let's go back to some reality here. Let's go back to looking at the systems, the culture, what was available in that, at that time. Well, we know, you know, it would have been a scroll.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the writing technology at that time. And he would have literally written his books on a scroll that was approximately 25 feet long, according to the Times.
Wow.
Okay. So I did actually do quite a bit of research on this. And so it was written basically on scrolls. Mm. Okay. They had moved on from, you know, tapping it into tablets of stone. Oh. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine carrying that around?
Oh, my gosh.
You know rocks. A whole book. Remember, he wrote a third of the New Testament. So that's literally the house, isn't it?
That's a lot of rock.
That's a lot of rock. And, you know, he would have had all sorts of problems, you know, pains in his fingers from tapping that away. Yeah. And let's not talk about spelling mistakes.
Oh, no. No
Tipex, by the way. No Tipex. No spiritual correction fluid there. But yes, so, you know, they've moved on. The technology has moved on from stone to being writing on these 25 foot long sort of scrolls. So if you think about it, he actually wrote a 20-foot long tract of his time with the intention of leading his Roman friend to the faith he acclaimed as well.
Wow.
So here it's basically a tract. So for those of you unfamiliar with the term tract, a tract is basically usually a little piece of paper, a booklet, a pamphlet, where people of faith write their experiences or, you know, to give out to people in order that they can share the story or share the gospel. And so that's basically what Luke did. But his was 25 foot long. He wrote this detailed, really detailed 20-foot long tract. With the intention of just leading his Roman friend to the faith that he had already claimed for himself. And what he had, he wanted his friend to have.
Yeah.
And that's what it was, you know. Bearing in mind, he's on the missionary trips, which means ships, walking, running from persecution, hot countries, up mountains, in prisons. And he's carrying around this massive scroll. Wow. Yes, to do his writings with.
I mean, they must have had jokes when it's like, oh, Luke's getting a scroll out again.
He's got his scroll out.
That must have been like a running joke amongst them.
I know. So, you know, I moan about having to carry the kids' books, school bags, you know. I was like, oh, it's so heavy, you know. But, it kind of gives us a little bit of insight, doesn't
that's
it?
Amazing.
Let's go back to the title. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to, for a minute now, about, you know, what he actually called his friend.
Yeah.
So we know that in the opening of Luke's gospel, he addresses Philophilus as, "O most excellent Philophilus." Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
But in Acts, he drops the official title.
Ooh.
He just calls him by his name.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's almost like something has changed in their relationship. Mm. Okay. Now, again, let's go back to other writings and sort of theologians' discussions here. Yeah. Because it is argued that the name change is in line with culture, and it suggests that the purpose of the writing of the book of Luke had been accomplished.
Yeah.
And so by the time the book of Acts was written, he was actually his brother in Christ to Luke. So that's kind of what the theology suggests, is that at the beginning, he's addressing his friend as a non-believer and he's writing this book for him. But by the time the book of Acts comes along, it's his brother and he drops the title and it's his brother.
Yeah.
My brother. Yes.
Yeah.
In Christ.
Wow.
So we make an assumption there. We speculate because it's not shared biblically. We're not told that biblically.
Yeah.
But it is speculated that actually the purpose of the book was fulfilled and he came to Christ and he's now a brother in the book of Acts. So what we can see here to finish is that Luke really invested himself in the life of this powerful, powerful man. Okay.
Yeah.
It was his friend who had absolutely no idea about the impact that his writings would have in the time to come. And yeah. I think that's the other thing. We hear about that, don't we? Like about Van Gogh and other yeah. people, that they, you know, they really struggled, you know, to do things in their life. And then after their death, it becomes huge.
Yeah.
It becomes significant. Yeah. And, you know, Luke, when he wrote this to his friend, he didn't have any understanding about what that was going to become.
Yeah.
Because it was obviously centuries later that was collated. But to him, they were just possibly a little personal book to witness to a friend, wow. a little tract. But to us, they would become sacred.
Yeah.
And the truth that we stand upon today in our faith.
Yeah.
Yes, without Luke writing that, we would not know Jesus.
Yeah.
And I just find that so amazing,
yeah.
so absolutely breathtaking about the faithfulness of what God lays upon our hearts
yeah.
and about what that could mean in the future for doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah. Luke could have just gone, nah, I'd just tell him. That's a lot of work. You know, I'll just tell him.
Yeah.
Yes. But he was faithful, obviously, yeah. to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and he wrote it.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's really amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really amazing. Luke possibly just intended his gospel for one man. And God honoured his faithfulness. Yeah. Yeah, he totally honoured that. And I think what we can learn here is that we really do have to be very, very faithful in the things that God lays upon our hearts, even if it's only one thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And God lays people on our hearts all the time. And then what we need to do is, once God lays those people on our hearts, we need to then listen to how we're going, what we're going to do with that.
Yeah.
How are we going to do that, what God shows us? And we'll probably never really fully know what that will produce fully. Yes. Who it touches, who it transforms. You know, who it saves,
yeah.
what it actually allows,
yeah.
what it builds, what it means, what it establishes. But we can't just limit it to our time,
no.
but for generations to come.
Yeah.
And that was exactly what happened to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
He just was being faithful
yeah.
by the promptings of the Holy Spirit to write this little book for his friend's salvation,
yeah.
to get him saved,
yeah.
to share the gospel. And then before you know it, that it's turned into part of our sacred word,
yeah.
part of the word that we stand upon and build our life upon. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to Luke. He's not mentioned again. But there is a lot about Luke, and I would be careful with this.
Yeah.
But there is a lot written about Luke in the Apocrypha,
mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah.
And it goes into great detail in the Apocrypha about how the scrolls left him and became the Bible.
Yeah.
But we need to be careful with that because obviously we don't take that as sacred.
Yeah.
It's not in the Bible. But tradition does say that he was martyred not long after Paul. We know that he was with Paul till Paul's death.
Yeah.
Because the Bible tells us that. We've read that. But tradition does say that he was martyred not long after Paul. And we think around the age of 84.
Wow.
So quite a considerable age.
Yeah.
And that, again, it is suggested that he was the last believer to be martyred.
Wow.
Because Nero had executed the rest.
Yeah.
Yes, he'd been on a rampage.
Yeah.
And he was hanged from an olive tree.
Wow.
And that was believed to be how he died.
Yeah.
Like I said, details of this are mentioned in the Apocrypha, but we would read that, if we read that, we would read that as a fiction, as a fictitious
yeah.
book. We wouldn't necessarily take that as gospel or as the word, inspired word of God.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Wow.
You know, just as we don't know a lot of his details.
Yeah.
But we do know certain things to finish. We know that Luke was an evangelist. Mm. He went out as part of the missionary team.
Yeah.
Yeah. He travelled. He took the gospel with Paul.
Mm.
He was persecuted. He paid the price for that ultimately too in his martyrdom. He was an evangelist. He was a historian for certain.
Yeah.
You know, he was a doctor, of course.
Yeah.
We don't know what type of doctor he was. Perhaps he was a foot doctor. dealing with all the corns and bunions of all the walking.
I mean, that would have been good then, wouldn't it?
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? I don't know what he was. Yes, with all those, but with all those disciples, yeah. I hope he wasn't a gynecologist.
Oh my goodness,
it would have been a bit wasted.
Oh wow.
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't developed then. I don't know. But we don't know what type of doctor he was. Yeah. But we know that that was something that he could do.
Yeah.
He was definitely a missionary.
Yeah.
You know, he traveled. He went outside of the comfort zone. Mm. He was a companion. We've read that in the three scriptures about him.
Yeah.
He was there till the end, faithful to the end. And I think also what I really love is that he definitely was a brother.
Yeah.
And he was a great friend to Philophilus, whom he wrote the books for.
Yeah.
But also to Paul.
Yeah.
Who he stayed with until the very end of his life.
Yeah.
And that just made me consider a lot, this study of Luke.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Again, like we said, we're looking at wider thinking today. And, you know, if something is not totally explained to us in the Word of God, we don't concern ourselves with that fully.
Yeah.
But I think from the very little that we've looked at today in the sense of Philophilus, I think that that really did speak to me.
Mm.
And it just made me wonder, who is my Philophilus?
Yeah.
You know, who is the one person that I would write a book for?
Yeah.
Who is the one person that I would do a huge amount for in order to bring them into the kingdom of God? And I think that that, certainly as we're moving towards the idea of being sanctuary and, you know, caring about the salvation of people, it did make me, this study, consider really how aware I am of what the promptings of the Holy Spirit are towards those who are lost.
Yeah.
And that kind of got me a bit excited this week. I've got to admit, it really did make me have dialogue with God this week about that. And I just thought, one day I'm going to meet him.
Yeah.
One day I'll be able to ask him.
Yeah.
I'll be able to be with him and say, come on, tell me about Luke. Tell me about who you were.
Yeah.
Tell me about your life. Tell me about, you know, how that brought you in.
Yeah.
And I really do love that very, very much.
Definitely. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I love the dedication of Luke.
Yeah.
That he, you know, because even if he was a doctor, it would have been easier then for him to have researched something like that.
Right.
Because he could have used his office, you know, kept all his supplies there and just gone out on his days off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would have been much easier. But I love that even though he was doing missionary work and that was like his primary thing, if you like, he had this project that he didn't realise the significance of. That he just thought it was for his friend, you know, that he knew. But actually, we use that today.
Yeah.
And I just love that kind of the longevity of it.
Yeah.
But that he had the dedication to keep that going.
Definitely.
And to put the work in and to carry that round and to you know, I so desperately want to be a fly on the wall for when he actually gave that to Theophilus.
Definitely.
I would love to just know, like, what was that reaction? What was that discussion like?
Yeah.
But I also kind of love that little clue that it worked.
Yeah.
You know, that by the time he kind of got to Acts, it had changed a little bit. And I love that.
Definitely.
Oh, I just think it's amazing.
And, you know, we've touched on, I mean, I think by the time we finish this season, I think we've done nearly 20 characters. And with many of our characters, we talk about how when we get into them, we learn about their character, their true position in their relationship with God and or Jesus, their direct relationship with Jesus. Certainly I'm thinking about Mary, his mother, but also about Luke and about other people too, certainly some of the disciples, about how sort of man-made religion has really sort of made them saints, deities almost.
Yeah.
And so Luke today is the patron saint of obviously doctors. And that is a huge feast day within those circles and religious ideologies today. And it's just, I just wonder how what they would think about that.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that, I think, right at the beginning when we looked at Mary and about, you know, this worship of her.
Yeah.
I think that's far, far, far away from her heart and what definitely. She would want. That was not her relationship or her position. And you get you wonder about that too, don't you, with with a lot of the saints. They're called the saints, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they have been made deities, semi-gods, people to be worshipped, people to be blessed.
Yeah.
And that really is far, far away from the true biblical intent of these people. They're there not to be worshipped, but they're there for us to understand God even more. Yes. And about the values within our heart as we as we relate with God and have relationship with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really did love Luke.
Yeah.
Really did. So I hope you found that really interesting. Yes, we've got, I think we've got a couple more, three more, I think we've got left to do. And so our next podcast is going to be on Deborah.
Ooh.
Yes, Deborah. No. I know. I love Deborah. I think Deborah is one of my favourites. Yes. I always say that. I know, but she really is up there. Yeah. I love the story of Deborah. Or Deborah, as you might say.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you say Deborah, I say Deborah. We don't know. But yeah, so we're going to look forward to that next time. So till next time, I hope you've enjoyed this study. And yeah, keep reading the Bible. Keep looking for the truth. Keep looking for understanding. And take your time, because it really is wonderful as we learn about all these beautiful characters that are there for our understanding, our knowledge and our growth. And it doesn't matter how small they are, how insignificant they are, or if we don't even know their names, we can learn something from them because they're in there. Until next time, take care. Bye.
Bye.